Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, Don't Touch My Baby, a conversation with Francis and Doug Weber. When you bring home a new baby, as a parent, you will become overly protective. Every noise, coo, and movement will make you look. Slowly, you begin to relax. And suddenly, the baby has moved. But how? The child's only 2 months old. She's still swaddled with no ability to even roll. This nightmare came to a head when the child was found in the middle of the night, only feet away, lying on her back, facing the dark door, leading to a very peculiar crawl space in a house that was once abandoned. This is just part of the nightmare that Francis and Doug Weber experienced. This is their story today on The Grave Talks.
For me, I've had experiences since I was a child. Mm-hmm. Little things of just, I've always had been able to sense when something's around me. And as I got older, the feelings got stronger to where I would start to hear voices. And when I was, I can't remember how old it was, many, many, many years ago, I actually saw a young girl standing in a road. And it was in the middle of the day, and someone was in the car with me, and they saw it too. So I knew I hadn't imagined it, and it completely freaked me out. The person that was in the car would never talk about it again because it just scared them to death. But it just stuck with me throughout, like, as I got older. And then once I became an adult, I just noticed my sensitivity towards it got stronger and stronger. I started seeing things. I started hearing my name called out. And what escalated for us was once actually Doug and I got married and we had our baby. She's 9 years old now, but when we moved into this house that ended up being very haunted, and that's really where everything just escalated for our family.
I want to talk about a lot of that. I want to ask you first, why do you think your sensitivity got stronger and stronger over time?
I don't know. You know, I think it's just because when I was younger, I was afraid of it. So I kind of like would see things or hear things and I would ignore it. I'm like, nope, I'm not looking over there. I don't want to know. But then I think as I started kind of paying more attention to it, I started, like, I'd be woke up in the middle of the night and the best way I could describe it is balls of energy at the foot of my bed. And I would open my eyes and I would just like stare at it. And so I started kind of like researching. I started reading books, watching the shows, you know, just sure. Kind of like trying to get comfortable with it because I was afraid of it for so long. One of my strongest experiences years ago was after my dad died. He died by like 20 years ago. And then I noticed that it started happening a lot when he passed away. So I had to take notice, you know what I mean? Like I'd hear his voice straight out calling my name and I'd be like, oh my gosh. And I would leave the room but then I just try to get more comfortable, like not be so afraid of it. Try to like accept it a little bit more, if that's the way to describe it.
Sure.
But, you know, and like I said, it wasn't till, as we'll tell you, our experiences with our daughter that really just opened me wide up to everything.
And I want to get to that in just a moment. It's very fascinating. Now, when you have these experiences or you hear these voices, you had said earlier there was an experience where the other person saw the girl by the road.
Right.
But when you've been having these experiences as adults, Doug, are you sensing anything? Are you seeing the same thing she's experiencing?
It has happened before. My experience didn't even begin until we had moved into this house. We're originally from Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then we had, you know, been in contact with some friends up here in Northeast Ohio, which is where we live now. And so when we moved, we packed up everything in a U-Haul with our 2-week-old daughter and moved up here. And we had no idea what we're moving into. You know what I mean? There was a, it was a house that we didn't know had been previously abandoned. And so, and we had actually found, I don't know the best way to describe it, like strange drawings or markings on the wall in the basement when we first moved in. But I guess my point is that my paranormal experiences in my life didn't happen at all until we moved into that house. It was brand new for me.
So when you look back as a child and kind of growing up into your adulthood, what was your opinion on the paranormal if you had never had anything happen to you?
Oh, you know, I had always thought it was interesting. You know, I'd seen the shows and seen the movies and stuff. I had just never had any personal experience. I always was interested in it, but didn't really experience anything or pursue anything until it happened to me firsthand.
Yeah. So this is interesting. This house that you guys ended up in, strange drawings, markings that you're finding. You later find out that it had been abandoned for a period of time. Take me to the very beginning of this house. How did you come upon it, and where did it go from there?
Well, when we were moving, we had, like I said, we had friends up here. And, you know, I don't know if you know anything about Northeast Ohio. There's tons of suburbs. And some of the suburbs are a little less safe, and some of the suburbs are a little more appealing as to where you'd want to move your wife and daughter. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
And so these people were really helping us out, finding places in these nicer suburbs. And we came across a house that just, it looked perfect, man. You know, we were living in apartments, so we get a house that's got three bedrooms and a bathroom, and the attic's been converted to a big old bedroom. We thought we had hit the jackpot. We were super, super excited. And so
what was the state of the house when you saw it? Was it like all ready to, you know, move in ready, basically?
So the
days of it being abandoned, it wasn't like a property that was in distress that was out there?
No. Okay. I think the landlord had purchased it sometime before putting it on the market.
Okay.
Because it looked nice. I mean, it was in really good shape.
Okay.
We didn't find out until
over a year later.
Yeah, until over a year later that, because we had started to have experiences, and we actually went to the landlord and asked him, you know, has anything like this happened to any of your previous tenants? And he's like, you know, well, actually I have never had any previous tenants. This house was, I bought an abandoned property. You know what I mean? So that's how we found out.
So what were some of those things you brought to him saying, has this ever happened to anybody else or you?
Well, I was the one that brought, he happened to come over one day, and I was just like, can I ask you something? I was like, have you ever had any of your former tenants complaining about things happening in the house? And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I told him, like, women calling out, or I told him that we're seeing shadows in the house. And he just looked at me like I was crazy. And he's like, no. He's like, you know, it could just be an old house. You know, houses make noises. I'm like, I am telling you, because I didn't go into detail some of the other, like, more traumatic things we'd been through. Because it was stuff that I didn't even talk about for many years until recently when we've done some interviews. I've kind of been opening up because it was just really hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, I told him, I was like, we are hearing voices calling out. We are hearing, you know, bangs on the wall. We see shadows moving across the floor.
Yeah.
He's like, he just looked at me like I was crazy. He just kind of blew us off, and that was it.
So take me back to the house, not necessarily what you were telling the landlord after all these things had started, but take me back to the house. You get moved in. What was your first experience where you kind of shook your head and went, what's going on? Yeah.
The very, very first experience was in the upstairs in the big attic bedroom I've previously mentioned. There are crawl spaces, which where we come from in Tucson, Arizona, crawl spaces are not a common thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the attics and basements and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's a lot of single story houses where we come from.
Sure.
So when we saw these little tiny doors along the floorboard, I was really interested in it. And the doors in the upstairs bedroom, they were seemingly sealed shut. I couldn't open it by hand. I had gotten some tools. You know, I got a knife, I got a screwdriver and a hammer and tried to pry the door open just so I could simply pop my head in there and see what it looked like.
Yeah.
But it was sealed. So I figured, you know, whoever had done it,
they didn't want us in there.
They didn't want us in there, or, you know, they had glued it shut for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, so we put some furniture in front of it and bada bing, bada boom, you know. And so a couple weeks go by and I go upstairs and Francis had a kind of a fancier jewelry stand. It's a kind of a really nice deal, about 3 or 4 feet tall on some legs. It was pretty heavy. Yeah, well, that was moved about 2 feet to the left of where I had put it. And the door was wide open.
I just ran down the stairs. I was like, it was like that feeling when you just feel something was wrong. And I just ran down the stairs. I'm like, that is not right. I don't know what just happened. I was so freaked out. It was really creepy.
So the door that you couldn't get open was wide open?
Yes, it was. Oh my God. Wide open. It was wide open. And for me, that right there was my very first paranormal experience in my entire life. I couldn't believe what had happened. I had tried to pry this thing open for a while. I put some good effort into it, you know, so
I made him nail it shut immediately.
Not to mention the fact that this relatively heavy jewelry box had been moved to the side.
Well, I have to ask, what did you find in there?
Absolutely nothing. Yep. Wow. There was nothing in there. I got a flashlight, popped my head in, you know, crawled in there for a minute, found nothing. It was dusty.
Yeah.
It didn't smell very nice, but there was nothing in there, man. Nothing.
Interesting. Very interesting that would happen that way. So you have this experience, you know, neither of you did this, and there's no logical explanation for that just happening.
Yeah, I mean the two week old baby didn't do it.
So you know you're in your new house. You gotta still kind of stay sane, and I'm sure that's a little alarming. How did things progress from there?
And then and then slowly over time, it was little things like we'd be upstairs because most of the activity seemed to be upstairs and in the basement, and we had little things happen in the living room, but. It was like the first thing I remember would be watching TV, and I remember like the first time I saw something black, like a black shadow, just move across the floor, and I was like, "Did you see that?" And like it just started happening more and more, and then it was things like one time I was upstairs talking to Doug with the baby, and all of a sudden I hear "Mom," because we had a son who was probably like 13 at the time, and I'm like, "What?" He's all, "Mom." I'm like, "What?" And I walk over to the stairs. I'm all, "Clayton, what?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, Clayton is at school. Clayton's not even here."
Oh gosh.
And so I was like, "Oh my," and we're like, "Oh my gosh." So we go downstairs, we're looking around the house, you know. Of course he's not there, he's at school. And then we had experience one time I was in the bathroom and I heard a woman call out. And I called out to Doug and he comes out to me and he's like, "Did you hear that?" I was like, "I heard that. You heard that?" He's like, "Yeah, I just heard some woman call out." And that's one experience I tried to talk to the landlord about. And it just escalated to where, you know, waking up in the night, one time I heard these loud slams on the wall and I flew out of bed. I'm like, "Doug, someone's knocking on the door. Someone's knocking on the door." He runs downstairs. Of course, nobody's there, you know. And then it started getting more traumatic where our daughter was probably about 2.5 months old, and I used to nurse her at night, so I'd lay her next to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I woke up, the first time it ever happened, I woke up, and I found her hanging off the edge of the bed by my feet, where her back was on, but her feet were dangling. I'm like, "What in the world?" Because, you know, she was only 2 months old. She didn't get down there herself.
Yeah.
So I pulled her up. A couple nights later, it happened again, and I was telling Doug, I was like, "This is really weird. I don't understand, because there's no way she can get down there. She can't roll. She can't do anything."
Yeah.
And so I think it was happened maybe 3 times. And then one night I woke up and she was gone. And all I remember, it's really hard for me to talk about. So all I remember is flying out of bed. I'm like, "Where is she? Where is she?" And he didn't know what was going on. He just jumps out of bed. And we actually found her, by the crawl space.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's 2 brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.